Blog Talk Radio.
We are Sex Bob-omb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
I hear a voice here, there are voice here, a tremble of cool. The feminine of it is still reaching my threshold, staring at the streets till I'm blind. My body's stupid, stereo putrid, spewing out music, in the road to it, reaching my threshold.
What is going on? Second show, second week, what's happening, everybody? This is Daniel. This is the Black NPR. Hope I got a lot of feedback last week from people who enjoyed the show in terms of the tenor of it. Some people learned a lot. Some people enjoyed the back end of it either way. To kind of give you some more clarity of what the format's going to be, we're going to give you an appetizer. We're going to give you a dinner. And we're going to give you a dessert, meaning I'm going to give you about 5 to 10 stories at the beginning of the show in terms of stuff that you may have missed. We're going to do a quick deep dive. Mind you, phone is always available, so you can call 347, give me a second, 857-4302 anytime. Take a call in regards to what you're thinking about in terms of what I'm talking about. We're going to be addressing a very specific topic. This week is going to be about Kavanaugh, even though that's what I did not want to do. I did not want to talk about that rage monster this week, but that's all that's going on. And at the end of the show, the dessert, it's going to be the normal podcast and setup. We're going to be talking about Renee. So normally we talk about something fun, interesting, thing that you're like, oh, it'll be great. Can't have a whole show of it, rot your brain. So at the end of the show, we're going to be doing a line-by-line reference point of Renee. We may even have a special call from a violent friend of mine. So we will see how that plays itself out. Again, Twitter, the Black NPR Pod. At twitter.com, so you can go in there and you can tweet at me. I tweet back. I'm constantly retweeting a bunch of very potent stuff. So let's just get into it, all right? So our producer is Brooklyn Black. You could throw some applause on to let him know that you're there, but he's around. All right, so we're gonna do. I think it's about 4 or 5 stories this week. Cause literally nothing at all really happened. And, I mean, there was a tsunami that I wasn't going to go into, but I was like, that's not what you want to hear about. I mean, a bunch of Asian people literally got washed away in a river. It's rough roads for those folk. But, you know, nothing more I can add to the situation that just so you guys know that there was a tsunami and there's a whole bunch of dead Asians. So you're going to lock that into your mind for the next week. If something more happens to that, we'll get into it. So let's get into it. I have a sound cue next week that I'm going to give to our producer, the wonderful Brooklyn Black, for this particular segment, but I could not get it right before it was time to go. So here we go. First story of the week. The Trump administration will no longer be granting visas to same-sex partners of UN delegates. Now, that sounds like something Trump would normally do, but there's a specific reason behind this. And this low-key happened last week, but it happened after the show. Trump went to the UN to give the speech. Every president, I don't know if you guys know, presidents go to the UN, which is on 47th Street if you're a New York-based person. They go there to give a speech. It's generally something that they all do. And he went there and he did the speech. But he said the same bullshit he normally says in West Virginia, in Montana, and in Kansas. But the Europeans and everybody else was laughing at him. They like, literally was like clowning dude in front of his face. And we were just counting down the moments to, like, what the backlash of that was going to be. And apparently the backlash of that was him saying, hey, you know, you and your gay dude or your gay lady, you're not allowed to be in this fucking country. Again, 2020 can't come soon enough. If you're somebody who's listening right now, who's one of those I don't want to vote or I don't believe in my vote, please call in because I want to engage with you. I want to hear what your reason behind not voting is because – we genuinely need this motherfucker out. Now, normally these type of shows tend to be more straight down the line. And I'm a centrist. I guess that's be the best way to describe it. So when I'm giving these new statements, know that I'm a centrist. I'm not liberal. I'm not active. I'm not the other way. I'm straight down the line. I just want stuff to make sense. So that's that. So pretty much you're saying that, like, if you're somebody who's a diplomat who was cracking wise, thought they was at the Def Comedy Jam, a week ago, listening to him speak, said flat out, like, no, not fucking with you, dog. You're not going to have your gay dudes here. He couldn't say you can't have your wives here. But I would imagine this story is going to be ongoing, and we will bring that up as we go along. In Chester the Child Molester news, again, another sound cue that I should have had ready. Again, second week, making sense to a song called Chester. Back in the day, that was about a child molester. It didn't slap at all. It was pretty weird because it was about a child molester, but it worked for this. It would have been a solid breakthrough. But yes, Missouri has lost track of more than 1,200 sex offenders. And that's happened. I had read that prior by Dana. No, it was not by Dana Dane Black. It was by somebody else. Now, I know what you're talking about, but it was one called Chester that was like in the 90s. It came on the box at some point. This is a real big aside, but it was solid. Hey, you know what? I'm going to send you the link, and when you can find it, put it on. I don't care what I'm talking about, put it on. So I'm going to find the link and send it to you. But yeah, they lost it. Apparently, the computer systems are fucked up. Much as I complain about New York City, living outside New York City is trash, bro. Because when you live in another city or another state, you are now in a situation where they really could give a shit about all the Chesters moving around, water moving about. Here we go. I'm finding shit for you guys because I feel like on some level, y'all need to get in on this. No, that's not it. But yeah, we're going to keep looking. Anywho, so that's that. Missouri lost track of 1,200, but apparently that's not just a Missouri issue. That happens to a lot of different states. So if I'm you and you live in a state and you feel like you're not sure, check. Google state missing sex offenders. And if your name comes up, then you need to, like, buckle your shit up, fam. You know what I mean? Black folk, we like to clown white people for, like, putting their kids on leashes. But you know what I mean? Like, that's not a bad idea when you're losing a whole fucking battle bus worth of fucking pedophiles. Anywho, next story, third story of the week. The Major League postseason. I know black folk are not really into baseball, but it's important because, you know, this is the first sport that we were able to kind of push through in. So I feel like on some level we need to make some sort of ownership of it. We got some stars in there. You know, we got the Haywards, what have you. So right now, I don't know what teams you guys root for or if you guys root for any fucking teams, but we're in there. I think the Yankees are in there. The Astros are in there. The Dodgers are in there. I feel that baseball, this is a different other issue that may be addressed at another date, is that baseball is a hard sport for black people to get into because I feel on some level the one sport that requires a lot of team dynamic, and it's hard for you to get like Kwan and Raheem down to the field because 9 times out of 10 there is no field, and if there is a field, there's dudes doing drugs on that field. So I'm a big proponent of like, hey, like watch it, figure it out, get your kids into it because it's the sport that we took over first. But losing it, I mean, we're losing it to Dominican, it's still my grandmother. But yeah, I just feel like on some level that we need to take ownership of it because it's a really good sport. And if you have a son, A-Rod made $290 million. It was good for like 1 of 10 of those years. And it's good. He's fat right now. Like, he's good. He doesn't have to worry about another thing. His knee ain't exploded. He can remember his fucking name. Like, have your kids play baseball if you can. And the final story of the week, there's a new trade deal. This is going to take some doing. Hopefully, we'll be able to get through this before we get to the next story and give some ads for y'all. So give me a second. You got it? All right, Black got it. He's about to throw it on. This is Chester.
Mommy, mommy, please don't leave, cause Chester got something up his sleeve. If you leave, then I can't leave. He's gonna try to put his hands on me.
Alvin Morton for Lifestyle News. Our top story for tonight is child abuse and the effects it has on the family structure. Film at 11.
Damn! Every time I turn on the news, somewhere, somehow, another child has been abused. I'm confused. What kind of people do we live among? They must be sick doing the things that's being done. See what I'm saying, y'all? Young children being raped and battered. All the fallen victims to the rat-a-tat-tatter. Who protects them? Who respects them? When their own family neglects them, it's time we check
these mother.
And let them know that we can't have this type of madness. Scurrying our kids for life and putting others in their caskets. It's how we make a change today, so there won't be
no more mothers to hear their child say,
Mommy, mommy, please don't leave, cause Jess has got something up his sleeve. And it's the reason I can't sleep, cause Jess is gonna put his hands on me. Mommy, mommy, please don't leave, cause Jess has got something up his sleeve. And it's the reason I can't sleep.
A mother cries, slumped over a dead body. A teenage girl in the corner screams, her mother wants to know one thing. Why? Here's the words of a girl too scared to lock. She said it happened to me first when I was nine. He burst in my room.
A kid, child abuse. Oh. Yeah, you can cut it off, Black. But I know I heard it. It's fucking bananas, right? It's fucking bananas. But it's real as shit. Nothing's changed, though, sadly. Let's get into this Trump, this frame shit, right? The one thing I would say about a lot of the feedback we got was people were learning shit, and it felt like there was invested, you know, which I feel like was solid. So I did more research this time around because I wanted to make sure that you guys were getting information you would not normally get. No, it's not normally the podcast you're accustomed to hearing, but I feel like on some level you guys need to hear this shit. That was just not Dana Dane. Fam, all right, this is going to have to happen after the show because I can't do both. But all right, hold on. So one I heard was not as aggressive. That felt like a real, you know what, whatever. So yeah, pretty much what Trump did and what his big bugaboo was NAFTA. And I don't know if you guys know what NAFTA is. It's a North American Free Trade Agreement, which pretty much meant that as an American person, you live in America and you had a company and you were dealing with Mexico or dealing with Canada, you weren't paying but so much. It was almost like dealing between state and state. So it allowed it to be easier, but Trump didn't like it for whatever the reason, because NAFTA killed a lot of the trade between like Detroit and those places where people were building things, problems building things at such a high rate. So it's a thing that makes no sense in the long run, right? So you're building, let's say, a car in Detroit or building a BMW in, let's say, South Carolina. There are unions there, so it costs a lot of bread to put it together. NAFTA allowed companies to go, well, fuck that. I will just go to Mexico and get it done, or allow Canada to come here and get shit bone cheap. And the chat room's open, by the way. If you go to the site, you want to go to chat, you want to connect that way, 100% you are available. You can nail it. Knock yourself out. But, yeah, so pretty much what Trump has done in this particular trade agreement is he says that there's going to be a change, and one of the main changes is that you have to give 3 months' notice, a provision, you have to give 3 months' notice to into trade negotiations for the non-market economy, which is China. And the big note to that, I don't know how much you guys are aware of, China's got some big shit when it comes to majority of trade because they build the majority of everything and they buy the majority of everything. So we're literally telling China, like, hey, fuck off, we're Captain Big Shit here, but we're really not. You know, China doesn't have human rights issues, so they could like they could literally work people to death in China. We could no longer do that. And the reason we were able to do that at some levels because we were Captain Big Shit at some point. So, with that being said, that was what he did, and that was when he was at that thing when he told that lady, "That's enough out of you," and he wagged his finger at a. At a reporter and told her, like, hey, that's enough. And the Republicans, because I got an argument with some Republicans today, I said, I plan on having not this week, probably not even this month, I want this Kavanaugh thing to end. I have a friend from Boston who's a Republican for the most part, pretty much on a level. And I'm going to ask him a bunch of questions. I'm going to ask all of you guys who are listening to it now, who are listening to it later, if you have questions to ask him, go to blacknpr@outlook.com, ask the questions, ask Republican, and we're going to ask a man, we're going to have him on here, white Republican, we're going to have somebody who voted for Trump on the show, but it's somebody I feel is more reasonable, so, but that's it. So if you have any questions going forward, go to the Twitter, let me get into it. I'm not going to go too far into it, I'm going to get to some Kavanaugh talk. But let's do some ads. The best part of the goddamn show is when I read ads to people I give a shit about. and quality products. Let's get into it. M.E. Productions for all your video production and photography needs. Hit them up on Facebook at M-E-P-R-O-D-U-C-T-I-O-N-Z, Me Productions, or email heyme.tv@gmail.com, heyme.tv.com. Thanks to our sponsors over at LitBK. Their website is litbkny.com. Put in the customer code PREGAMEISLIT for 20% off your purchase. And don't forget iCraveWare, which is iCrave, with, you know, the I as the personal, and Crave as in the White Castle, C-R-A-V-E, Wear. Check them out at Instagram at iCraveWear and website iCraveWear.com. Put in the promo code PREGAME for 15% off purchase. If you're a Brooklyn dude, I mean, I don't really like to go into the ads. Let's go into the ads for a bit. Hey, you know what? If you are somebody from Brooklyn, you're somebody who supports black business, you're somebody who likes lit T-shirts, you know what I'm saying? Like, go for it. Like, I really feel like I'm saying the stuff and you're not paying me any mind. But if you're someone who likes, you have like some Flatbush or Bed-Stuy, or you want to support Brooklyn, you want to support black folks, go there, support all these guys. They're all black businesses. They're all solid. They're all good people. Like, I'm not just bringing up mooks off the street and saying, hey, what's going on? That's who these guys are. So knock yourself out. Okay? But we'll do at least one more time just in case you guys are wondering what's happening there. All right, let's get to the meat of the show. We're talking about Kavanaugh. What's the reason behind it? What's the purpose that we're getting into it? Why is this such a big deal? I don't know how many of you people are questioning. I mean, I would love a questioning if you have any phone calls. Just solve any of those questions at 347-857-4302 or, you know, however you want to do it. We can get into it. But generally speaking, the Supreme Court, this is a big deal. The reason behind it, when you become a Supreme Court justice, you are on the court for life. You can't get off. You could be a real piece of fucking trash. You're there for the rest of your life. Why is that? Because back in the day, people died at 40. And they didn't want there to be any type of confusion over the laws. And I don't know how many black people know this. The majority of our rights, 90% of them, exist because the court said, legally speaking, this doesn't make sense. Because more times than not, legally speaking, it operates on a system of yes or no. It doesn't operate on emotion, operates on yes or no. So political standpoint, it says if you're saying guy is a thing, we're people, then we deserve to vote. Or we're people, we don't deserve to be slaves. So the Supreme Court, if you are a black person, is super important. So I don't know if you guys are aware how fucking important this shit is. It's super important. Normally speaking, the president comes in and the president goes like, hey, I'm going to suggest a guy. And, you know, like Obama put Kagan, which is a little Jewish lady, and Sotomayor, which is a little Spanish lady. And he went super liberal with his stuff. And I will call a spade. He went very liberal with his stuff. I feel like Bush put in Roberts. But to show you how far we've gone, Roberts is now the swing vote. Generally speaking, now people are going to vote across state lines or political lines, which is not how it was meant to be, which is very weird because now we're in a position where, I don't know about y'all, but, you know, this is generally stuff I talk about at the end of the show, but when you let off in somebody, you want to know that you can go to the chop shop and get it taken care of. You know what I'm saying? You want to know that you got a chop shop option. This new system, they're trying to get rid of the chop shop. And from what I've heard from the old heads, the old school version of chop shop is just chucking broads down steps. And that's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? Or you're going to have to take care of somebody's kid and be angry and have to dip the fuck off. I don't know. But that's the general idea. So the first guy that Trump picked, put up, you put through. Most people you put through. There's never an issue. The problem with this is you have a dude who had allegations of trying to take some box. which is gross. But not only try to take some box, he is somebody who, after was on, it's like, hey, you know, fam, we heard you try to take some box. He says, nah, I'm going to never do that. I never got drunk before. I was hanging loose. I was watching TV. I was going to church shit. Now all of his people are popping in and going like, hey, my guy, you was a drunk. You was a real drunk. Like, you was a drunk. You know what I'm saying? Like, you was somebody who was incapable of managing your shit. Like, you had to hang up. And now the connection I want to make is there's a term called incel, right? I don't know. It's hard to do it in a moment. Incel generally stands for involuntary celibate. That's where a lot of the whole Charlottesville-type nonsense is coming from. So the idea is, my idea, my theory, is that Judge Kavanaugh, was an incel back then and was carrying on like a proud boy and carrying on like the Charlottesville people. And I feel like on some level, him and why he'd be a Trump appointee is very clear to, because all of the people who fuck with Trump, incels, all incel people who like couldn't get box, couldn't fight box, they feel like women are assholes for not wanting to fuck them. They have money, they have energy, they have time, and at some level they're not getting box. And they're being very angry about it and violent about it and running people over and feel like women are bitches about it. I mean, we'll get into it in another show, but I want to have somebody from one of those groups call in and talk about it. But an incel generally is somebody who is not able to get, like, there was a guy named something Roger, and he went off and shot up a bunch of people in California. And a lot of these shooters and mass shooters are people who are you know, like, sexually frustrated and feel angry at women for that reason. And I feel like he was one of the proto versions of that, because what I've heard today was a lot of his friends saying that he wanted to get boxed. Like, he really wanted to be inside of Yale pussy, and it wasn't happening for him. So instead of, like, fucking, he just decided to get banged up. Banged up is me for getting drunk. I don't know if that's the word you guys would use. But he would get banged up, and he would get banged up and sit there and then stew in his anger and get mad and say, like, hey, why aren't people fucking with me? And it seems like when he got drunk, he got angry and violent and uncomfortable. It wasn't like he was a fun drunk. He was a weird drunk. He was somebody who was looking to cause sturm and drang, if you will. So I feel like when he comes out here and he's sitting in front of the senators, and senators are going, hey, by the way, like, you know, what's the devil's triangle? And he goes, it was a drinking game. Fuck you, fam. Like, you just stood in front of the fucking, the law of the fucking country and lied. Devil's Triangle is not a drinking game. As I'm a, sight unsaid, your boy loves to drink. Your boy's a drinker. Your boy drinks beyond my black skin. I am firmly deep in my Irish roots with the type of drinking I do. So when I hear that type of bullshit, I'm like, own your shit. Like, you live in a world and a situation where you're like, I ain't raped that chick, but I drank a lot. No one's going to blame you. But what he's getting banged on now is the fact that he said he wasn't doing those things. He said that he wasn't drinking. He said that he wasn't a full-down drunk. And he wasn't throwing glasses at people's fucking heads and all this other shit. Now, he said in front of, like, he got sworn in a lot. And now the issue now, I don't know if you guys know, all of his classmates from Yale, some of his classmates from his high school of like, that ain't that nigga. I don't know the nigga you're talking about. But that dude was a drunk. That dude would show up to shit, get banged up, fall down steps, get angry, say wild shit to broads. Chicks would ignore him. He would, like, have to hold himself up consistently. Like, do you imagine, like, you know, I don't know if you people know, and, you know, Black could give me a air horn if he knows what I'm talking about, where you get, no one's going to finger you as being a drunk who can't hold himself up unless you were drunk who can hold himself up. Do you know anybody who got called a drunk and they weren't? If I'm wrong, please let me know. Like, I've never known anybody who gets called out on being a fool drunk and be like, nah, that dude's fine. Y'all talking shit. No, that's not something you talk shit about. And other two is everyone's older and they're like, yeah, we got fucked up too. Like, we only know he got fucked up because we was in the same room with him getting fucked up. And it wasn't a big deal, him getting fucked up. None of us give a shit. Trust me, if his only fucking mistake was getting banged up and forgetting the next night, I'd be like, all right, cool. All right. I'm all right with that. His issue was that he's making it seem like he was in church. Oh, okay, yes. If you called in, folks, push 1 so you could be queued up. Everybody who's called in at the number, the 347 number that I gave, push 1 so you can be queued up. Because I imagine some of you guys have called and don't know. Again, second show, cut the slack. But yes, if you called in at the 347 number and you want to get in and you don't want to just listen, you want to talk, there's a few people who I would love to speak to about this in terms of incels and women, because I always feel in this conversation it's strange because it's just me talking and not any women. I want to hear what a woman feels in terms of 347-857-4302 and then press 1 so we can get you on here and engage. Okay, we have a 631 number, area code 2802. Let's get them in here, Black. Hello, hello.
Hello.
Who's speaking?
Christina, how are you?
Hi, Christina. Okay. So, you know, we're talking about Judge Kavanaugh. My theory that he was a proto-incel in terms of somebody who was an angry, sexless person. What's your opinion on that?
Honestly, I just heard the term. I Googled it real quick when you messaged me. That's weird.
Yeah, super weird.
I don't know much about it.
Are you on speaker right now?
Yes, I'm actually driving home.
Oh, yeah, because we can't do, you know what, we'll do speaker for a little bit just because the audio is kind of weird. But I just want to get your opinion on it, but go back to the thing. So, like, incel, they have different groups, like Proud Boys and different groups, right? So the idea behind being in the incel is that it's a woman's fault, that they're not getting laid, and feminism is the devil, and globalism is the devil, and y'all should give them sex because they make money and they're nice.
It's an extreme form of, you know, what we see between men and women, what has always been or has always existed.
Sure.
What,
but I mean, it's like you're seeing it on the high
know.
Level. You're seeing at the highest level where you have a man who mm-hmm. who was doing well in school and had buddies named Squee and lifting weights and was like part of a group of people who are getting laid. And he felt like on some level he should get laid. And they weren't giving him the same burn they were giving his chicks. He probably just didn't have it. And his anger probably bubbled up. He probably tried to, like, take some box, or just not even take it, but he tried to put himself in a position where his anger did not play itself out, and not realizing that to her it was a huge fucking deal to be held against a will, and forgot all about it because he was probably acting in his lizard brain was in charge.
I have not gotten to even really look into the case of it. I was just recently in the Dominican Republic.
So you were doing church stuff?
Hidden away from a lot of what I saw on Facebook, but I haven't gotten a chance to delve into it, honestly.
Okay, but I mean, that's the reason you call it. I mean, obviously, I want to talk about what's your opinion on men who feel like fucking is a God-given right.
It's conflict theory. I don't know. It's kind of like, to me, it's just reality. It is what it is. I can't even believe that we're still in a place where women are not being heard on the realities of what it is. Like, you know, you have white people that still, you know, oh, well, that was 400 years ago. Like, no, this is what people live every day. I'm
big
kind
part
of numb
of that,
to
really,
it. I'm really
is that
kind
at
of
some
numb
level,
to it as a woman.
And I always
if
say
I'm
that, like, that's nonsense. You got to be honest, yeah. And I want to be clear is that we always make the argument about like white people do a thing, and this is an ownership thing. And if you have an issue, please call in. But I feel like on some level we are guilty of the same shit, and we don't take care of our people, and we assume that women are liars. We assume that women are duplicitous, and we feel that women are what have you. And like I'm not simping them, just like at some level.
I think that,
if
you know, women need to be assumed human.
First,
argument from men that they want to assume that we are perfect on a pedestal. Like, don't put
because
it
even
there,
worse.
Women, you know?
Because you're able to be terrible and you're able to be great, but I think at some level the problem is, and this is a separate conversation, but the same way that like when we as black people want rights and we as black people want value, right? We want to be put in a position where we're there, but at some level we have to almost be saintly to get those rights, but that's not fair because we're not saintly. So when someone is not saintly, they get, you know, shoved to the side, going, "Well, that dude was up to no good, so fuck that guy."
Yeah,
so
like
no,
the chick who went in the dude's house and killed him, like, oh, he had weed in his house. So
shot him dead. Nat said it, but I think at some level, that's what we're talking about. Women is like, at some level, they have to be saintly or they're not saintly. Like Blasey Ford literally had to be a doctor. She literally had to handle the slings and arrows. Anita Hill did all those things. It said, if it was just a regular
person. And look
person
how Anita
boy,
Hill was
happening.
Treated.
Yeah. She was treated terribly.
And by whom?
She terribly. A group of old white men. Some who are still up on that stand.
Mm-hmm.
On a stand. So, I mean, like, what's your opinion on it? Because we're getting it. I really hope, and this is my dream here, is I never have to talk about this particular person, this particular story again, but I'm going to give a deep dive. I'm going to talk about it. So what is your general opinion as a woman? Why do you feel that we are still engaged? And as a woman who's a Christly woman, someone who believes in the Lord, someone who's in that general zone, because that seems to be a very patriarchal space. I'm not talking out of school when I say that. It's kind of written into
okay.
the doctrine, yes?
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, no, that's not a snide. It's just
no, it's
at some
fair,
level,
it's fair what you're saying.
It's written
fair.
Into the doctrine, so at some
mm-hmm.
level, it's kind of like it's almost kind of led into it. So, what is your opinion of it?
You know, that's a long conversation. So that's why I say I wouldn't go into it. I don't necessarily see it as that. I see that you know it's been intertwined with culture and people and different types of people. So
mm-hmm.
it's adopted a patriarchal, you know, sense of before those things were existed, there was, you know, an order and roles and whatever. And we could go into
does
it.
It
I want to
does
answer
it,
your
does it
original
you?
Question. No, not at all. That's why I said
so
it's
like
fair.
If he became if he got acknowledged and he became the next justice and he was like the next guy, he's the one who took over for. Let's get into that. The person he's taken over for is Anthony Kennedy. Is it Anthony Kennedy? Who was a swing vote. He was somebody who, I think Ronald Reagan brought him in, but he was somebody who was a law guy. He was somebody who believed wholeheartedly in the law. And so whenever something came up, he took it at face value. So that's why this is a big deal, because this is somebody who – so the last guy – that got you. Are you familiar with who the last person that they replaced?
No.
Okay, so the last person that replaced was Antonin Scalia. Pronouncing it wrong, but he passed away. He died. He was aggressively conservative, and they put Gorsuch in, and I think there was some level of. And I'm doing full disclosure right now. I feel like it was
okay.
easy to replace him with another conservative person. Because he was already conservative. I feel if Kennedy retiring, him being a swing vote, replacing him with a conservative person means that you're a skip away from no more chop shops, no more nothing. Like a lot of the gains that have been made are going to get rolled back.
Okay.
So with that small, I mean, obviously you've never been paying attention to it. I'm not putting you on the spot. But I mean, like, just
I haven't had a chance to go into any of this. I was kind of shielded from this on vacation and was kind of happy about it.
Yeah,
but,
there's never no vacations from this.
I don't think that. What'd you say?
No, the sad part about it is you take a vacation, we got to come back to it eventually.
Well, yeah, unfortunately. I can dream, though. I can pretend. But I don't think that a justice should be allowed to, you should be elected to that space and be overseeing the largest court in the land. If these
are
things
that are
in your
past,
what'd you say?
No, I'm saying, like, if you can't be in a situation where the government, the president, whoever, the Senate, whoever, the House is whoever, right? So for all of you, because I always, you know what, I got to really get out the habit and assume that people know what's what. So I'm going to be very, 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 very reductive right now and explain how the government works. And I shouldn't have to, but I imagine there's some people who don't know. So at some level, a law gets made, and someone goes, that's a rad law. The House does it. Senate looks at it, goes like, all right, that's pretty rad. That works. And then the president looks at it. President goes like, okay, that works. And then there's a law. 9 times out of 10, it does not work that way. One person of 50 people or 1,000 people have issues with it. But long story short, if a law goes through and it's a fucked up law, because politics are politics, the final gate, the final person at the end of that fucking window, the only people who should not be vested in any level of politics is the court. That's why it's not like government. Plessy versus Ferguson was Supreme Court case.
Mm-hmm.
So all of our rights and laws and ability to get married, and if you want to like go find yourself a white woman, fair, you know.
It has to be brought before the court.
But I'm saying, like, at some level, before you even get to that, somebody, you're right. At some level, I think people don't forget that you could repeal all of this shit back, which is the Kanye thing that I'm actively trying not to talk about, but you could repeal that shit and literally have
it
back and change.
Yeah. I was just going to say with the Kanye thing, doesn't it all seem like nonsense? Like, it's just
that's
all
only 100% like nonsense? Oh, fucking nonsense. All
it's
nonsense.
Just,
but at
it's
some
so
level,
crazy
he was a man.
Who,
at some level, he feels this is a psychological thing. But that's nothing to do with the general conversation, but it's a podcast. I can do what I want. I feel on some level he feels that people are pushing back on him. So he's going out of his way to be ostentatious and obtuse because he feels like the more that he's against people, the more his self-esteem goes up because he feels like he's on to something that no one else is on.
I think that and he's not well.
I just don't think if you can identify what's not well with him, because it's not just not well, there's something specifically wrong with him.
It's a lot of personality stuff going on with Kanye as well. You know, a lot of, you know, along with psychiatric stuff, you also just have bad character traits. And things that you didn't learn in childhood, you know.
You gotta have someone to stop you. There's some generally someone.
You could tell he's
always
been very spoiled to me. Like, you could tell someone.
So understanding there, put the foot down and go like, this makes no sense. What you're saying, you're talking ridiculous.
Yes.
But the thing is that on some level, if you only, that's why. All right, this is something that normally comes to the end of the show when I tell my personal opinion. I don't really care for artist types. I'm not a fan of them. I don't mind art. I don't like artist types. It's like artist types like to talk out the fucking ass with no information and prattle on like they fucking forget it out. You dumb, no. You smoked a bunch, you got anxiety, and you're talking reckless. It's not fucking information, you dummy. You, instead of taking fucking medicine for your anxiety, you smoked and sat around other dum-dums and sat around with your fucking crystals and quartz, and you had those dumb nonsense conversations. And then it sounds ridiculous, like it makes sense to you, because the fucking sentence structures has periods and exclamation points on it. And now we're supposed to hear your nonsense.
Why are you going at all?
fucking hate them.
Leave them alone.
That's the problem. Is you leave them alone, you leave them alone, and then they get power and they get money and what have you, and you end up with Kanye. When do you call someone out for your nonsense? Oh, we should rate this, and love is love.
I mean,
love,
honestly,
is not, love is
you
a
know
bullshit.
When you call somebody
oh, Jesus,
out for their nonsense,
hey, everybody.
Out for their nonsense.
Always, whenever I can. I'm about to drag someone to end of the podcast again when I told my normal opinion. Yeah, thank you. generally speaking of this is, if you believe in bullshit, astrology, quartz, rock, fucking burning fucking grass in your house, other dumb bullshit that you read in some bullshit fucking website, a fucking .net.us fucking website, you deserve everything you get.
Bruh.
Someone needs to say, you're fucking wrong, you make no fucking sense. You read some nonsense pamphlet somewhere. Oh, because I'm an Aquarius. That means nothing. That means absolutely nothing. What's the scientific reason?
Damn,
why you
son.
A shitty fucking personality because you was born in fucking January. No. Your mom wasn't very good. Your dad wasn't around. That's why
get
you have a shitty personality.
Get it out.
No, it's still there. It's around. Because it's normally what I do at the end of the show. Normally try to be more informational now, but like at some level we get the Kanyes, we get the Trumps, we get the Kavanaughs because we let the small shit cook. Oh, we got another call in. It's been a pleasure, my love.
Thank you. Sorry I wasn't able to give you more. Oh,
no. I think you gave me everything you want. You gave me everything I needed. Thank you, sweetie. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye. We got 646-1179 on the line.
Oh, what's up, y'all? What the
Who's
fuck
this?
Is going on? What up? This is E. What's going on?
It's Ernie. All right. We're talking about Kavanaugh. We're talking about incels. Apparently,
I heard.
We're talking about.
I don't know who that was before me, but she was.
That was Christina.
She had a nice voice.
Look, fam. That's not what this is about. This ain't this. This ain't that.
No, but seriously, though. No. He's like one of those problematic dudes that never got any ass when he was a kid. So he like forced.
That's it.
Forced
but we know that for
you
fact,
I mean?
Though. So let me give you some information I got. So the key point is everyone likes Christina Clemente's voice. Everyone's all in with it. They can't get enough of her sexy Afro-Caribbean voice.
Uh-huh.
So you
yeah.
got it, girl.
Yeah.
You nailed it. No, it's the Afro-Caribbean. That's redundant. Afro-Latina. Sorry. Thank you.
But you sound like Caribbean. That's what Caribbean is.
Yeah, but no. But, I mean, if you say it out loud, it makes no sense. So it's like saying Afro-African. So he spoke to some of his people, and they're saying that, like, they carried on. I mean, like, he wasn't the worst person, but they're saying that their big issue with him is that when they asked him under oath, he's telling all this bullshit.
Yeah, he lied, like everybody else would. Here's the thing. It's all fucked up. When you go for an office like that, normally all this shit wouldn't really matter. When we're talking about a policymaker, we're talking about somebody who is supposed to be, you know what I mean, at the top of his game in terms of being virtuous and honesty and, you know what I mean, a pillar of community and, you know, and thought and rationality. This dude is just another regular boss to the wall. I can do what I want. You say, oh, I work my ass off and all this shit, but you had advantages and you used them. This being, you know, where you were as who you are, which is a white man. The reason why we're in this situation in this country is because these are the people who are in charge. These are the people who are consistently in charge. We hear every day about how men are preying on women, and yes, that does happen. But a larger problem is the Christianity, the how much in politics, even when people swear they're not religious, they're still bound by those rules.
The country is generally bound by those rules.
You know what I mean? It's forces women to be silent. Something happens in their lives and people don't pray on it. No, do something about it. Hey, we have all the power that we need to change the things that we want to change. We don't do the tradition and things that are ingrained in us religion, whether we think we follow it or not. We're
so do you have a, so let me ask your opinion on it. Let's yeah. line them. This is Ernie, the one of the co-hosts of Love, Peace, and Slander, the greatest show on the pregame network.
Oh, yeah, I heard it. Number one show on pregame network. Yeah, thank you.
This motherfucker I heard. Fuck off. Anyway, this real righteous piece of shit. Anyway,
we just dropped our Love, Peace, and Slander Shopify on our website, lovepeaceandslander.com, but, you know.
Hop on there, because this motherfucker just heard it in the grapevine. He was just out shopping at the Bravo, and someone said, I heard you know this. Number one, he said, oh,
yeah,
shit, about it.
I was watching one and just came across the ticket. I was like, oh, shit. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
You ask
sure.
Me?
Fucking hell. But yeah, so what's your opinion on it? What's your genuine, like, what's your thought process on it? Like, so, like, do you feel like he should go? Do you feel he will go? And why?
I feel like he should not get the nod because he's lied. And all of these people are coming out like, well, dude, you know, just cop to it. That's the number one thing. That we
agree. That's my opinion. If he would have flat said it now, especially now,
it, people would be like, you know what?
I no, got but I agree with you. Now in this era, in this era now, he could have flat said, I was getting fucked up. You know, I was drinking, whatever. Got messed up. I don't remember, but I know. I feel confidently I didn't do it.
Right.
That's it. That would have been the
like that,
end of it.
That means that there's more that we don't know. You're genuinely fearful and scared. He was like. It was like watching a live interrogation, like a closed door interrogation. This dude, if NYPD was to bag him, he plays himself like that and perform like that in
can
front of him.
Can you imagine?
Definitely.
Tell an officer, look at, oh, I heard you like the drink. Oh, do you like the drink? What do you drink? Are you fucking kidding me? Everybody.
Here's the thing, but I think he still will get the nod because people are insane. They're literally insane these days. Think about what we're talking about. We're talking about piece of shit nominated by another piece of shit who should be all these guys that never even see or smell the offices they're sitting in, but yet they are.
But you know this is not the first piece of shit he put up. He put up
it's
another
not,
piece
no,
of shit.
It's not. I mean, we're talking about an entire cabinet. You know what I mean? Everybody who didn't fall in through a system with
no,
government.
No. What I mean is that he already put a judge through. And we as a country, we as opposition was like, all right, fuck it. All right, you got it. No one argued it. Everyone was fine with it. So the
you
fact that we're arguing this, look at it, my nigga. Like, realize
because
that
people, the same thing, you have to get good at knowing what motivates people. You know a lot, how many conversations I had with old Caribbean and African dudes about why Hillary shouldn't be in the White House? And I listened.
Yeah, they didn't like
them. Like, make no sense. It's only because they didn't like him because he's a woman. Barack has put in the three minority women in the Supreme Court. Barack put in. They're from New York, right?
Yeah, Kagan, Sotomayor, and the other one.
The same way them folks say, oh, the colors are taking over the country. It's the same way a lot of these men are saying, oh, women are taking over the country. What's the problem with that? You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's an incel situation.
Talking
right?
About.
So you're incel. You're somebody who I'm going to get deep. I want to do a deeper dive into it because I put a post up. I was talking to somebody and the guy comes in and goes, why are you saying it? And have women not lied to you in the past? And I'm like, that is not that's not relevant at some level. And I was like, when you guys are in charge, I'm like, my guys aren't in charge. I have no guys.
My guys aren't in charge. Here's my thing. We are not in charge. We are the least in charge people in this country. Line up a whole bunch of people, we would be the least in charge. People fear you and I because of what we are, not who we are. I'm feared as a black man because I can physically hurt someone. You understand? And not every black man looks like me. But out in a courtroom or in corporate America or these places, we don't fucking put fear into people. They don't know just how to handle us.
Yeah.
I'll take your job away or I'll throw you in the cell. That's what they do. We don't put any policy forward. Listen, Barack in all his presidency had a hard time doing the most basic things as a fucking president.
He did nothing, but just so crazy, right? So
because
they
wouldn't let him.
But I mean, look at it from this perspective, right? Next week, Right next, after the once we get, like I said, the Democrats get into the, let's say they get into the House or get to the Senate,
right.
I guarantee you Trump's still going to find a way to get shit done.
Of course, because he knows how to play and what people's desires are. He's all politicians. This is not, that's the one thing he told the truth about. He said, if I get in, I know how to get shit done because I know how to fucking weasel people. I know how to give them what they want so they give me what I want. That's it.
Because I remember Obama, we had the whole fucking government and jack shit was getting done.
Yeah, because Democrats are bullshit too.
Who what?
Smile on your face and go, huh, I don't like this kid. I don't like what he's getting done. Because he was doing or getting ready to do a lot of things that they should have done a long time ago. They never want that to happen. Affordable Care Act, that was a Republican. The Republicans put that forward, but they couldn't get it done, so they didn't want nobody else doing it.
But that version
only
of it,
reason. Yeah, that version of it. They didn't want anybody else doing it. They hate that his name is attached to something like that. That's why everything that comes out of their mouth is, Obamacare. Ridiculous.
Because once his name got attached to it, Barack Hussein Obama's name got attached to it, it was like, it's not going to fucking happen.
Do you know the insanity we live in? We have female Republicans. We have female black Republicans.
Yeah,
I'm not a politician. I'm not into politics or whatever. That makes no sense. This is the party that has voted down women's rights across the nation.
Because on some level, I don't know if you've ever met them, their issue is they were raised in a space where they feel like, because I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you guys a secret, the host of this show, Daniel Crudup, will give a show. Every single one of my adult relatives, once they've hit maybe 75, they become Republicans. Always. Without a doubt. Without fail, they become Republicans. They might not say they are, but they are. Because there's something to be said about the bullshit story of you have to earn your keep and you get what you earn and you work for what you get for. Even though it's not true, they buy that
lifetime,
shit.
That's lifetime. Benefiting from social initiatives that were put forward by the opposition party.
But from their perspective, is that, and I mean, I would say, like, I understand what their perspective is. I don't think it makes sense, but their perspective is we was in the school, we was the ones getting spit at, we was the ones dealing with this, that, and the third. Why should the next generation just get an easy ride and not earn it? I can see why, if there's another version of that person, raise another person like that and
that's
push it down.
Ever because the generation before them were fucking chained. So by their logic, their lives would have been a lot harder. They wouldn't even be where they were if it wasn't for the struggle of the last generation.
Yeah, because I only can speak for my family. I feel like I can only speak for my family is that there was never a struggle generation because we came to the country and because of Western Indian. That's another story from another conversation.
And that's
the
thing. You would not have even been able to come
been able
to
get
the
in.
Country.
But they got here super
that
early.
Generation.
But we got here, some backstory. We got here like 1920, 1919.
Oh,
and then my great grandfather was an outlier and was able to figure it out. He was an outlier. Figured it out. Made sense of it.
Mm-hmm.
But that was not something anybody can do. He was just in the right place at the right time. It was fucking luck.
Right.
So it made sense for him. And I've said this out loud. It made sense for him. And he was able to be in a space where they needed someone to do a thing. He was there to do it. Then they needed someone to do something else. And he was there to do that. He fucked his own shit up because of McCarthy.
1912, right?
Him.
1912, right?
Yeah.
In 1912. My great-grandfather was around my age, and he had only spent half of his life as a free man.
Yeah. But that's a big conversation. That's a real big conversation in terms of people who just got here, people
you know
who've been here for a while.
And
there's a
going
big
on. People who just get here have all these fucking ideas about what people who are born here should be doing or could be doing and not living up to when they don't know the struggles of being born here and having your credit ruined before you're fucking, you know what I mean, an adult and, you know, being denied a job. They love people that come just over because they have all these ideas that align with the narrative of, oh, yeah, they're fucking lazy. That's why they don't have anything.
Yeah, that's the general understanding of America. People are just laying around and had the same shit they got when they got here in 1973 after the fucking war was fucking over.
Turning it back to Kavanaugh and, you know, in the larger sense, women in America, they're their own worst enemy. You have women on both sides. Who put this guy in the White House?
It was
an overwhelmingly majority of white women.
These women
that claim sisterhood. You know what I'm saying? I read something on this fact checker I was on, and it says how a majority, like about 67% of minority men, believe this is Ford. And how like 30-something percent of white men
believe in how the court works,
right? Huh?
That believe in the court. Like believe that like it makes like it's option.
No, no, that believes the allegations are just Kavanaugh. They believe the woman. You understand? Whereas the people who are actually in charge of the country, they don't. Men and women.
No. I have a thread I'll tag you in where it's pretty much just people saying that she's a liar or like women are liars, generally speaking, and that like we're just trying to like fuck this guy as a great thing. But my argument, this would be my argument I'm going to end before we get into the wonderful dessert that is a line by line review of the song Renee.
Yes,
that's what I'm here for.
That's the dessert. But Cosby did what he did. If you told me 10 years ago Cosby was going to go to jail for that, we would have been like, nah. I mean, Cosby's a good dude. You know, like he's a stand-up guy.
Right.
But we found out he wasn't a stand-up guy.
Right.
My argument is like, why these people can't seem to allow themselves to be like, maybe he's not what he said and what said he was. Did Cosby make great TV shows for black people at a time where there was no great TV shows? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Was Cosby a role model for people by saying, like, hey, you don't have to be a thug or a pimp or what have you at a time where that's all he had to see? Yes. 100%
yes. Why? You know why?
Because with
everything else that is black, it reflects on all of us. Every time somebody is arrested and convicted of some shit, it's even worse when it's celebrity. It falls on all of us. Let me tell you what happened at my job. During, remember when they dropped the, I don't know if it was Time magazine, where they put all his accusers on the cover?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Client
comes to me, and she's
from Canada.
She comes to me and says, can you believe this? And like, it's like putting it in my face. I'm like, yeah, it's Hollywood. It happens all the time. They're actually, what can you believe, that there are actually more people doing this? This is not the only guy.
And there will
be more.
Now, Harvey Weinstein
came and gone.
All these
other people.
He's not
brought up any of those other people.
But, so I see what you're saying. Didn't ask about any of those people.
Right. We have to answer for everything that
any of us
do, regardless of how deep in the union they are with us or not.
He's a
black man that is going to jail now. His entire legacy is destroyed. And it
perpetuates that
stereotype of us being uncontrollable animals that they pushed since the 50s.
You know what I mean?
And beyond
100%, I'm not even arguing that.
That's why people hold on to it. You have this guy, and he seemingly was untouchable. He was somebody that did something no one else before or since has done.
He did a lot of good things, but he also raped somebody. He raped a bunch of people.
Yeah, he did.
So that's
no doubt about
it. I mean, that's the point I'm trying to say, is that, like, was Judge Kavanaugh, like a great jerpudis? Yes, fine. I'll give you that. Knock yourself out. Was he a solid dude when it comes to other people? Yes. He could have been solid to everybody. But the thing is that, did he also do this thing? Probably yes. Why is that not part of the conversation? Also, the fact Trump's talking about is a bad time to be a young man when he's the same dude that was one of the main voices of the railroad, the Central Park Five, but
yeah,
beyond me,
right?
He was fucking there loud and clear going, like, these motherfuckers did it.
He paid for spots in the newspapers for weeks.
These teens. These wonderful teens.
But here's the thing with Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh is especially – people don't understand why this is so important. This is a guy who's about to be handed a tremendous amount of power.
Aggressive amount, like almost more so than a president.
I put the Supreme Court – we talk about checks and balances. I put the Supreme Court above the president. You understand?
Yes, 100%, because
they – but the Supreme Court, they are the law. They are literally the law. Somebody goes,
we are not slaves anymore
Court.
Because of the Supreme Court. We're allowed to go to schools of white people because of the Supreme Court. We're allowed
right.
to get jobs. Everything we're allowed to do is because the Supreme Court at some point said, enough.
The president will be and may be gone in 4 years. The Supreme Court justice is forever. None of these motherfuckers have died. They're giving them something. They're forever. They have to literally
either
step
die
down like, yeah, I'm
or
done.
They, or they split the scene at like 90.
Yeah, they're like,
the
yeah,
fact
I'm
that
done,
Ruth Bader Ginsburg's old as shit. Okay. And we're like, please don't die.
Yeah, all this shit, because she's the only voice of reason in terms of, you know, the feminist, not the bullshit feminist movement, but the true feminist movement, like equality. Like, you know, I just want to be able to have shit be the right way. You know what I mean? I don't want to put anybody above anybody, but this shit is wrong. Once you don't, it's a boys' club.
It's a boys' club,
yeah,
or
room.
One side is saying some crazy shit, the other side is saying some crazy shit.
Right.
There's no middle ground. Put it this way, the moral
and seniority, and she, you know what I mean? She has seniority, and she has the voice. She knows he got, you know what I mean?
Bet.
It's different. We're about to hand this guy a tremendous amount of power, and that's dangerous for a man who seemingly can't control himself, is what he's showing.
But he told, all right.
Anybody who watched him on TV shows that, oh, this is a guy that can be bought, this is a guy that can be pressured, this is a guy that can be blackmailed because he's weak.
Hopefully, this will be the last time I ever have to bring up this motherfucker's name in the show. It's been a pleasure, E. If you want to stay on, because we're about to bring in I think you know who's about to come onto the line in a bit to talk about Renee line by line. Do you want to be part of that
yeah.
conversation? Yes or no?
Hell yeah.
All right, so hold on. Just stay there. Don't leave anywhere. Brooklyn, we're going to have another person call in. We're going to have a three-person conversation about Renee.
What up, Black?
But let me... Black, yeah, Black. So hit me up with that. Here's a signal. Hit me up. I'm going to do one more read of the what's that word? The ad copy. So hit me up. You got it, Black? Hit me. Go. Hit me. Let's go. Let's do it. I got something. I got something special. I want to do my ad read some flavor. There we go. This show is brought to you by Emmy Productions, for all your video production and photography needs. Hit them up on Facebook at Emmy Productions or email emmytv.com. Thanks to our other sponsors over at LitBK. Their website is litbkny.com. Put in the customer code, pregame is lit. Pregame is lit for 20% off your purchase. And don't forget iCraveWear. Crave them out on, check them out on Instagram at iCraveWear. At their website at www.icraveware.com. Put in promo code PREGAME for 50% of your purchase. Are you from Flatbush or some other terrible place in Brooklyn and you want to represent that? Go to iCraveware. You've got it. Flip. Anywho, let's get on with the show. Thank you, Black. That worked. All right. We have 718 ready for the show. Our favorite curmudgeonly violent speaker. Get her in here. Three-man show.
Hello?
Hi. Ernie, you there?
I'm right here.
It's a devil's triangle.
It's a devil's triangle. Don't play that game with me. Yes, I love the last 30 minutes of this fucking show. It is the fucking best. But yeah, I don't like the devil's triangle. How about you? I'm not trying to square you up and rotisserie you. Anyway... so we're going to get to the show, Renee. I'm not trying to fucking put you on a fucking Funko spit and spin you around and roast you and set it and forget it.
Oh, no.
That's not what I'm here for. I'm not here for that.
Properly. Tell the people who you
go on.
Can you guys hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay. I can hear you fine, too.
Okay.
All right,
so we're going to go line by line. I'm going to do the line, and we're going to go in it. So we're doing the song, Renee. We heard it earlier today in terms of, like, but he fucked up and how my man got killed. She got killed, fuck with him. I don't think that's true. I think that that's not fair. I think she would have ended up fucking up her life. So let's do the song. Let's go through it.
Well,
okay?
Wait. Before we do the song, let's set the scene. Let's
set the
give
scene.
A little background. Okay?
Queens,
so,
1995.
1995. Recorded in 1995, released in 1996. Mm-hmm. It is,
and it was The Lost Boys.
It was The Lost Boys. It would be considered a ghetto love song.
Ghetto love song. It was the second single off of Legal Drug Money. Because the first single was the what's that, with Lifestyles of Rich and Shameless.
It was the third single. The second single was The Jeep.
That Cuba to Be was an event. We have to look that up. But all right, fair enough. Third single. But it was the one that really really spoke to thought.
Is that what it said? Did we even
right,
say
right,
who
right,
I am?
Right.
Like, we're just talking
it really,
about
it. It really made the real trampy, because you didn't really hang out with these broads, but these trampy broads loved it because it like, made them feel special, and they felt like they could die for a purpose. You know what I mean? Like,
this
they
was,
loved
this
it.
Was the, this was the young girls whose first boyfriend was, like, 29 song. This was their
damn
song.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. This was a song that when a chick literally thinks about her first love, there was a nigga with a full beard with gray in it.
Right.
No.
Supplying her with weed
strange,
and picking her up from school.
Strange,
yeah.
What's going on
strange.
Back then?
And they're going to pick up them at at pulling up the IS-27 in a full Range Rover. Going like, oh, where you going? We're getting into.
You know what I'm saying?
Into.
The fucking CLK with the Lawrence kid. You're like, wait a minute. That is-
you guys have your timeline fucked up.
That's true. It's 100% true.
No, nobody had a CLK in 95 because I don't even think they made CLK.
Not a CLK.
That
no, that's why I didn't say that. I was like, flat out, for me, it was a CLK. Niggas was pushing fucking Range Rovers. Niggas was pushing, what were they pushing back then?
Tacon.
Legends back then.
And Legends. And Tudor
Legends back then.
On Rim.
Let's get this song. Yeah, that's niggas was out here banging out on fucking 9th and 10th graders. And niggas was pulling up and go like, Tommy said I couldn't fuck him till I was 18,
word.
But I could suck his dick though.
Word. Going to
belly.
McDonald's and the SC300 and shit.
Mm-hmm. And then you'd be like trying to be like, oh, shorty, like, let me, what's going on? What's happening? And they'd be like, I'm fucking with you because you don't got like $100,000 in a fucking briefcase somewhere, so
no,
you ain't got no value.
No, I'm not fucking with you because you are fucking 16 like I am. That's just it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
let's get into the
that
track,
is not,
girl.
That is literally totally not this song. That's
who liked it.
That's who liked it.
And I'm trying to.
Let's get into it.
And I'm saying that Cheeks, I think he bumped her age up a little bit.
Yeah, because she probably went to fucking. She probably went John Jay, but reacts. She went to August Martin.
Oh my God!
Go
you guys to go. Y'all have to go. This is how I know. This is how I know you don't know the song by heart.
No,
so
no.
Line.
Why
I know this
song? Yo, why her mom called them like they was the same age? Like, yo, chick, they shot Renee, my daughter.
I'm saying that no. I'm just saying I'm putting adding to it. I'm not saying I don't know.
Because
go
nigga,
with
yo,
you know what
her mom. Yo, her mom called him Mrs. Cheeks. That says
you
the
understand?
Whole story.
You understand
continue.
That I was
continue.
A married man, and when I was married, her mom would not call me, and she would not call me by my street name. She'd have to go like this, yo, what's up, Buns? No, you didn't call me fucking fuck out of here. But let's get to that. Let's get to it. We're jumping ahead. We're jumping ahead, y'all.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, the first line of the song, here's a tune by a honey named Renee. Congrats on the baby, Renee. That he met one day on his way back from John Jay. So someone just today was telling me he went to John Jay. So
yeah,
someone
well,
told me he went to John Jay.
Yes.
I did not get that off until
today. He
was coming
back and seeing another chick. He would come back from seeing another chick from John Jay, a grown chick, and he saw her on her way back to school. Continue.
Ernie, if you knew the song, you would know that that is factually accurate.
Let's keep going, yo.
Keep going.
I keep it shorty as she's walking to the train. I tap her on the shoulder. Excuse me, miss. Can I get your name? She said, my name is Renee. I said, I got a whole lot to say. So may I walk you to your subway? All right, so they're walking to the subway, right? They're walking to the what subway is over there? What's the subway by John Jay? So, come on.
That's probably
you know
like
this.
The one. So that's the one of the two.
The one of the nine, right?
Train.
That's over by like SOBs, right?
That's a Broadway train. That's uptown. John Jay is all by right. Lincoln Center. John Jay College is by Lincoln Center.
He said on his way back from John Jay, we don't know where he was or where he met her.
Facts. I mean, I don't know. I didn't think anything
of
it. I just thought she went to John Jay.
No, she didn't go to John Jay. That's why that meme is inaccurate. Go on.
All right. She said, if you want, she says, if you want. So, yo, we started talking. I bought two Franks and two drinks and started walking. I had
that's
to see
like
where ahead was
South
at.
Brooklyn.
All right, so we're going to stop right there with two Franks and drinks. How much you guys think that shit cost back then?
$5.
Franks and two drinks? That was $125. They was downtown Brooklyn. They was by the
no, they was not goddamn downtown Brooklyn. No, they were not downtown Brooklyn. No, no. I stop you there. No, they was downtown Manhattan. They were,
they were not downtown. He didn't say he was. He met on his way home from BMCC. He said he
no. Do you want to know from my perspective? I'm saying that when I hear this film, it's from my perspective as someone who was living in the Bronx at the time. So it was downtown to me.
Okay.
Okay.
That's Midtown.
All right. We began walking. Okay. I had to see where the head was at because the gear was mad fat. What gear was she wearing, guys?
She probably had on a shearling coat. Perhaps some Tim's and a nice bag.
Some fucking guest jeans and fucking what he had on. What else he had on?
What was the jacket back then? A fucking some fucking some bomber jackets with the fucking cross.
No, Ernie, how old? Ernie. Not 1986, bro. 1996.
That's not. That was really wrong.
As a person who was an adult in 1996, I'm telling you, she probably had on a shearling or a very nice leather coat and perhaps some Tim's.
She had a trampy shearling on the one where like it's way too small and her butt is out.
Again.
No, I'm saying because I bought somebody a coat at that time, and some bitch really bamboozled me and got me to Macy's and bought a $600 coat. And that's the one she got. Yeah, it really was a bad scene for me. That box was so good, fam. Could I please? I would do a whole podcast just on that box. It was so good. She was like, let's go to Macy's and this how much this jacket costs. I was like, fine, whatever you need. whatever you fucking need. Here you go, Gail.
Damn!
Larry David's fucking song came on. You like it.
Just wait, it's coming. So we must chat about this and that. She told me she was at school for, she wanted to be a lawyer. And then best part of the song, in other words, Shorty studies law.
Mm-hmm.
I love that part of the song, by the way, because I felt that he needed to let people know that's what she was doing. I'm telling Shorty I'm a writer. She's looking for the token. She drops the packet. So that's where I believe she was at John Jay, because as a writer, he would not be in John Jay. He would no need to be in John Jay. He would have just been walking past John Jay, and she was there.
Go
because
on.
John Jay is a law school. Anyway, she's looking for a token. Everybody remember tokens, folks? How much for tokens? Do you guys remember how much the last token was before they got rid of it?
$1.25.
Yeah, man, times are great. She drops a package of Easy Rider, covers her mouth with her name ring. I said, yo, don't sweat the technique, Shorty Rock. I do the same thing, but yet I use Philly blunts. She said, I never dealt with Philly blunts because I heard they were for Philly stunts. So what did you guys use when you were in that age group?
Okay, so stop.
Right out.
So no. Stop. So this is we're gonna do a deep dive here. Because what he has described is not a what you would call a bird. That's the picture he's trying to paint. That this girl
she was
is,
a bird.
He's trying to paint a picture that she was not a rat. So she's dressed well. She smokes joints. She doesn't smoke blunts because at that time there was. Oh my God.
Oh boy, here we go. Ring the bell, Black. Oh man.
There are different frauds.
The reason why she's saying that she doesn't smoke Philly blunts is because, for lack of a better term, that's some shit niggas did. So if she was trying to be cute with her shit, she would smoke joints. Because a chick who smokes joints would think of herself as a little bit more elevated than somebody who's standing on the street slurping down a fucking cheap-ass cigar. Go on.
Okay, hold on. Let me get back to it. Let a guy know we're going to roll with the licks. We'll make sure that we get it. That's why I give myself an extra half hour for the quality shit like this. I said, yo, don't sweat the technique, Shorty Rock. And he said, right now, I don't know you, but maybe later I get to show you. And then they do the hook and get a love by the love to live by. But we already know that. That's the bullshit. Sitting out of sitting on a train beside the fingernails. Now Shorty's got a hairdo of pain. I never understood
Stop.
That line.
Stop. So, again, he is describing this young lady as not someone who is of low quality. He is telling you every chance he gets, this is a fly bitch. Her nails
this
are
a,
done.
This is quality
her hair's done. Let me tell
this
you what I guess her hairstyle was. She probably had a French roll. It was probably very high. It was very neat. There might have been a little sparkle, not a streak of color, and a bang that was very flat like a Chinese cut. That's probably what it was, what the look
was. Yeah, yeah, that's what I was thinking too. I was swinging that with like the pins in it.
Yeah.
Now I understand she got flavor. They even said it, you know what though? He already said what she had. A tough leather jacket with some jeans and a chain that her mom's gave her.
Yeah,
got this off the train
not a bird. That's the point.
Yeah.
She's not a bird.
From Southside Jamaica, Queens. So that's Southside Jamaica, Queens. I don't know about all that.
I mean, she's
get
literally...
Off the,
she'll go on.
Got on the train about 6:34. She wasn't sure she had the grub for the dog. So he hit the store, went to the crib, turned the lights on, crazy magazine stand from Essence to write on. A leather couch, stereo, some crazy CDs. Understand, kid, she's got cheese. So that goes more to Chantel's opinion that she's a solid broad. She said
also,
she,
cheese
you,
means money, in case
I,
no
I
one knows.
What? Oh, you know what? Fair. You know what? We always assume people know what we're talking about, and then
yeah,
they don't.
Yeah, cheese is money.
Cheese means money, you fucking hillbillies. You
and
Essence,
Right On used to be a, Right On was a very popular magazine
your
about
magazine,
rap
you
music.
Fucking
yeah.
Unwashed monsters. Anywho, yeah, treat our audience like shit. Understand, she got cheese. She said, she do what you want, which is weird in a Me Too era. She said, I'm going to feed the dog. I said, all right, I'm going to roll this blunt. She came back with stretch pants and a ponytail and a T-shirt. The AO fam, I got a tenderoni girl. It's lit. Sit on a couch chat.
Now y'all should jump in and talk about the outfit, because everyone knows what the leggings, tail, and the T-shirt means.
It means she's about to suck dick, yeah.
I don't know if that's what it means. It means she's getting comfortable in her house, though.
Yeah, but you just
on
met
her
this
leather
nigga
sofa.
Like in a day, man.
She's about to
Can
hit
I be honest
herb,
with y'all niggas? Renee was a thought. Renee was giving box to a nigga she met on the fucking subway the same day.
Who bought her a hot dog?
Real talk, she gave a nigga some box the same day. She met this nigga on a fucking subway. He got that box off a blunt and a fucking hot dog and a soda. Like, real talk, we need to, like, look at
but
her perspectively.
But you know what? That's purity. You know what I'm saying? She didn't need all the extra shit. Like, you know, she really liked them. And, you know, she was a grown woman. That's what she did.
All right. I'm going to give you know what? Sex positivity. To sit on a balcony. Where does she live, guys, that she has a balcony?
She lives in the fucking peas.
She lives in the city. She lives in Midtown before gentrification. In one of those apartment
I always
assumed
she was like,
lake.
What?
That's no, not, that's not what I thought.
She was fucking what? She was in the pee.
There's no boundaries in the project.
For the projects, not in Queens. I imagine
she probably
she
lives in
like,
Michelama housing in the city, some Michelama apartment.
See, I more thought she lived like over by like Van Wyck.
No, because... No.
Like Briarwood.
Where did she get shot? What hospital? We'll get there. She
Jamaica?
Lives in
Manhattan. Right, we're getting there.
No, we'll get there.
Black, I'm done. You know we're going to run over. So, but I gave you an extra half hour. So we're solid.
Solid.
Let's go. Manhattan. She said, feel, he says, pretend I'm a girl. We're smoking blunts in the balcony. We're still in that. Staring at Manhattan. I'm right.
At Manhattan. Okay, so they're in Brooklyn.
No, I don't think Brooklyn. Probably Queens.
No,
Queens.
Not Brooklyn.
A Queens nigga would never deal with a chick from Brooklyn. They were dirty and gross. So she's probably living like Long Island City, maybe?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Just, no,
maybe.
But I think she lives in Manhattan. He could have been staring at the rest of Manhattan.
Really, nigga?
It's just, as a Queens nigga myself, if I'm writing a rap, there's no way I'm imagining a chick from Brooklyn. That's not something I would imagine. That's something that happened to you by accident. You don't imagine that shit happened to you. That's like a rash, which coincidentally you get from a Brooklyn girl. All right. And then she started feeling on his chest. He started feeling on her breast. There's no need to stress the rest because Cheeks is a fucking gentleman.
A gentleman. Right? That was a gentleman.
He's a gentleman. So he drops a nut. He goes, "Ayo, I got a winner. Be smart to blunt before we ate. and Blunt before we ate dinner, they had real anxiety problems. That's a lot of weed. She had a tattoo. She only wanted Bo to see. Who's Bo?
I think that's a mistake. It's Co. Co, not Bo.
Okay, fair enough.
It's Co.
And yeah. First, dim the light and turn up the Joe to see. I'm like, whatever, Shorty Rock, we could swing it like that. Because on this real shit,
sure
where's that?
I was sure
go ahead, Ernie.
She only wanted Yo to see.
Mm-hmm. No, it's Co.
Himself. All right, go ahead.
Because it's Co Cheeks. Because his name is Co Cheeks.
Uh-huh.
It's Mr. Cheeks, so it's Co Cheeks. But...
That's the type of information you get from people who live in that dirty fucking area. You get that Lost Boys fucking information. That dirty fucking area of New York City called Southside Jamaica,
mm-hmm.
Queens. That's why we have Chantel
mm-hmm.
on. Not
mm-hmm.
like North Queens, everything is solid and solid, but here we go.
Right, because
I woke up
going
the next day.
Sit and play songs. So go
on. Wait.
Okay.
No, just,
go
you're
on.
Not going to explain to my show.
Go on.
Oh, so the producer said Yo is equal for Spanish, or it might be I to see. So that might be another
mm-hmm.
element
perhaps.
There. So I woke up the next day on a waterbed, which is gross. A letter on the pillow, and this is what the letter said. It said, Cheeks, I'll be home around 2. I was deep in your sleep, so I didn't want to bother you. I left a number for Shorty to call me later, got dressed, smoked a blunt, then bounced to the elevator. I got a beep around 3. Asked Shorty, what's up with you? She's asking, what's up with me? Been together for weeks. So it's been weeks now. He said, it's pager. They're hitting it. They fucked. It's great. Everything's solid. Candlelight dinner for my Shorty. Crack a 40 with my naughty freaks. Was he cheating on her? Is that what he's saying here?
No, he's saying they drank a 40-ounce of brew with her.
Have any of you
but
guys
saying
drank
they,
a 40 if your loved
one? He's saying
ones?
That they went from candlelight dinners to 40 drinking. So it was like that, you know, Brugetto moment. Like, she was so cool, they could do candlelight dinners and they could have a 40 together. She's great. She's perfect.
That's what
that's
a perfect
gotta,
woman would do.
That's why she's got to die. Go on.
She's got to die. A man I've never been in love, but every time I'm bursting in and out of state, it's Shorty that I'm thinking of. He's a drug dealer. That's what that means. I'm hanging out with my crew. I get a beep for Renee because Renee uses code 2. For you young folk who didn't have beepers, beepers were a way for you to then get a text, pretty much a text saying to call somebody back. But in a way for that to work, people put a code so you would know it was important enough for you to call them right away.
You
and
could basically all the information we sit here and text on and do all this shit on our phones, you could do on the beeper if you had the right code. Like everything you want to explain on the fucking beeper, and you didn't even have to call nobody back. You're like, oh.
No, they know.
Problem. Okay. I got
or 8008. Turn it upside down. Boob. So there it is. We got a beep from Nay. Renee's a 2. But I'm chatting with a mom Duke. This is where the grand concern comes from all of us, I would imagine, that her mom, after a few weeks, is texting this nigga and goes, she said, Renee's been shot, so Cheeks meet me up at St. Luke's. Oh.
Now, where is St. Luke Hospital?
All right, Chantel, there you go, everybody. There you go. That is in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're going to get to a deeper conversation. Probably won't happen this week, but she got shot in Manhattan and got brought to St. Luke's.
Now, let's stop right here. Hold on. Let's stop right here. Hold on.
Stop it.
So, something happened to Renee. And she gave her mother, she had to give her mother instructions before this happened to her. Like, yo, if anything ever happened to me, hit Cheeks, use this
let
phone
him know.
So he know it's me. So that means Renee was into some shit that Cheeks didn't know about.
Agreed.
Or, as someone who was a girl in the time frame and who had a mother who had some concern about my whereabouts and blocking out with, it might have just been that this is the boy that I'm hanging out with and this is his phone number and this is and his mother her mother might have insisted on having the information.
Can I throw a wrench in that? Knowing your mom,
sure.
After a few weeks of dealing with some dude, was that gonna be the setup y'all were gonna have?
If he was sleeping in my fucking house and I was going to his house and we were talking about we were in love, that's different.
I'm
gonna
make
the
argument. I don't think Renee had a good mom like you did.
Oh, I think she did.
I don't know if
she ended up.
The first thing that popped in my head when I heard this song was that Renee's mom was like a crackhead or something like that. She was
it is amazing that we are from the exact same place. I don't know how old you are, Ernie, but I think you're much younger than me. But your perception of people is so funny because this go on. so on.
I don't think he's a crackhead, but I imagine. Mom, listen, anybody's mom's calling somebody by their street name, they're street.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah,
well, that was that
okay. That person. They're in the low position
for the point
of that person.
The rap, though. Was she
I don't think she's
Karen?
A crackhead. I won't go as far as crackhead, but I think Renee's mom's kind of on the is living a life. I think Renee's mom is a person we always discuss as someone who got left behind in the hood and
yeah,
probably looked good at some point, and she's like doing her best to kind of make through, but is not a good role model in the sense that she's like, oh, he seems good, even though he's
that was,
a nigga that,
was
that has no discernible job.
He, that was verbatim. He said, "This is cheap Renee." That was her word. That's what she called the nigga like.
Yeah. Then she goes, my favorite line of this song. But by the time I reach the, it says I hop on the Van Wick. I gotta make it there quick. Ayo, the shit's getting mad thick. I ain't even thinking about the pole nine. I ain't do a buck, none of fuck. Smoke a boom in the whole nine. I gotta see what's going on. By the time I reach the hospital, they tell me Mr. Chief Silk Renee is gone. She's dead. She's out. She split the scene. She's gone. Now he's pouring beer out for a shorty. If you were to get clipped, Chantel, would you want me to pour beer out for you?
Yes.
Okay, you got it. Like regular beer, or that'd be like quality?
No,
beer?
Get that beer that we were drinking in Chicago, the good shit, in that purple bottle.
You
please.
Would say that, the bougie nigga. Yes, sure enough. Get an $18 bottle of beer to pour out for you. I'll do it.
Yes, thank you.
I'll get right on that. Just motherfucker. I'm from the ghetto, so listen, this is how I shed my tears and existence. So we're going to end there. It was at the end of the song. And the end of the video, he catches him in a bathroom at the Van Wick train station, right? It's at the Van Wick train station in the video. And I imagine he shoots him in there. Right? Is that how it is?
Like, how does he know exactly where this nigga is? And if she got shot at Van Wick, or anywhere near Van Wick, how does she get the same loops?
My theory is that Spig Knight set her up.
Oh, no, you didn't.
My theory is
Big Nice.
My theory is Renee's mom has some outstanding guts, and they ran up on Renee, and she paid for it.
So where was St. Luke's? Let's real quick before we're St. Luke's Hospital. This is what motherfuckers are here for, yo. St. Luke's Hospital. Does anyone want to guess where it's at? So we know Manhattan, but we're St. Luke's is now Mount Sinai Hospital, B to B.
It's uptown.
That's way uptown.
No, but there's another, just the breast center. See, I was going to think there's like something great about breast there, but no, it's probably like bad titties there. So you have the emergency one, St. Luke's Emergency, Harlem. Okay, so Miss Renee was over by Columbia University. Yes, 110.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
She was there dealing dope.
Mm-hmm.
Something.
But however, if you think about how people from uptown talk about the rest of the city, if she's on a balcony and like what are those? What's the apartment buildings that is it Waterside Plaza? That's like it's not projects, but they have terraces, and you can see down to the rest of the city. They could have been.
So
up
you're
there
saying she died where she lived?
That's the plausible story. I'm
well,
saying, okay. Like with all the
Titan Towers,
given,
Titan Towers,
listen,
whatever,
with all the
Titan
information
Tower.
Given, I think I'm going to have to agree with Danny. She was doing some shit. But think about this. She's in college, right? Let's say she's in college.
No, but you have
give
to think
one.
About 1995. 1995, people got shot walking to the store.
But the neighborhood
yeah,
she got shot in is not a shooting neighborhood.
Most of the people got shot in 95. It wasn't because of an accident. It was only a
that's
thing.
Not
like,
true.
Stray bullets wasn't always
okay.
The thing. Stray bullets wasn't always the thing. A
okay.
Lot of people got
but
shot
I'm
in
gonna
New
step,
Jersey.
I'm gonna step up to the neighborhood they were in. The neighborhood she got clipped in uptown, no one was just whizzing bullets at people up there. It wasn't like that. It wasn't okay. Niggas getting clipped in the fucking crack of the head because the cops was up there real heavy trying to keep them. From my experience, niggas, you know I was there too. It's like nobody was just shooting niggas apropos with nothing. Also, that would have been something that it would have been said. The fact that at the end of the video,
he knew exactly
what
to
look for
to. Yeah.
Would make me think that that was something that actually happened.
Think about this. Let me finish my thought. He had her own spot, leather couches, doing her thing. She was fucking college. Now, once did we hear about Renee having a job, she left for college. She said, yo, I'll be back at 2. That's a college class. She went to her morning class. She said, I'll be back after that. What was Renee doing for money?
the department. Again, we don't know. We don't know.
I would assume that
the day that Renee was just doing school and nothing happened to her. I now, to this day, I feel like today she either had her hand in something filthy or she got clipped for something Mr. Cheeks did.
No, it wasn't.
I just want to say something to you.
That's a final thought.
Final thoughts. The murder rate in New York City in 1995 was 1,300. Niggas were getting shot a lot. People were getting shot randomly. People inherit apartments. You couldn't go to a basketball game without the potential of somebody getting shot.
That is 100% true. Because I always say that's how I want my thing.
Also, people in New York City before gentrification are even still with it. People inherit apartments. That could have been her grandmother's apartment that she got. People used to live off of their motherfucking grants and shit when they was in college because rent was cheaper.
Boots and shoes grant.
Like, you got to think about the time it was. There were ways that you could be living in a certain way that doesn't exist anymore just because some of the shit's gotten so pricey. But she probably was working at Water Villa or some shit.
So your final thought is that she was working, got shot by accident.
Yeah.
Ernie, what's your final thought?
My final thought is, maybe she was in her grandma's apartment or shit. Add up the gear. Everything you just played about her costs money. Her hair, her outfit, the shoes, things. All these things, the weed, a living, dinner. All these things cost more money than just living off of grants. She was doing something dirty. She got clipped for it. A lot of people got clipped.
I would say that if I didn't also know the catalog of the musician, and when they were female characters that were doing something dirty, they were very clear about it. So if you take the whole body of work of that entire album, there are songs about girls who are in the street. There were songs about different types of girls. So because Cheeks' whole... The whole deal with Cheeks is like storytelling.
He was gonna probably love her. She wasn't just a girl.
I'm on both minds of this because I feel on some level that you're right, but I think that this is a chick that if she was doing something wrong, he wouldn't have been aware of it.
That's valid.
If he wouldn't have been aware of it in the song, the narration of the song, he wouldn't have been able to say she did something wrong. He'd just been confronted by, because his thing is that she was a solid chick. But on some level, she was someone who found him attractive and found value in what he was trying to do as someone who was going out of state and moving work. So at some level, she could have been doing the same shit. And one thing I do know, if we're going to do like period-specific information, that was the time when broads was moving shit over and across that bridge.
Danny, what you're saying is absolutely valid. But what I'm saying to you is that if you listen to the entire Legal Drug Money, there were three other songs that talk about three other different types of women. So the Renee character is like a special character. And in his perception, as a person who understands different types of women in his age group in that time, this one, from what he can perceive, is not that type of chick, which... You're conflating the video with the song. Now, in the video, him avenging her death with some macho bullshit, based on the song, he doesn't know what happened. He's in Queens lying, talking about he was doing 100 miles an hour on the Van Wyck, which my dad thought was hilarious. It's like impossible.
Everybody who's listening to this
forever.
Now or down the road, the Van Wyck or the Van Wyck, depending on where you're from and how you speak.
You couldn't do 100
miles
Wyck, at, but it's the
even
Van
at
Wyck,
night.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you listened on like 1010 Winds, they go to Van Wyck and it throws you every time you hear it. But if you did 100 miles on a Van Wyck, guarantee you're getting pulled over. Because you're not making this, you're going to get pulled over. And also, the traffic is set up as such that there will always be traffic. So you're going to run in the back end of a car.
The road's so fucked up that you're going to flip your car if you go over like 65, 70 miles an hour.
Yeah,
I would like to agree. This is the most New York fucking podcast ever, where we're literally talking about the road of the Van Wyck Expressway. Congrats, everybody! if you bump that line at 100 miles, you're fucking dead. You understand what I'm saying? Once you cross over,
whatever it is, just a little bit.
you're dead. And there's going to be some Korean niggas coming to find you because you're going to die by flushing. You're going to just be dead. And they're like, this, oh, he's a dead. And then you're gone.
Oh,
he no leave out the way. He died with honor.
I'm glad you took the time because there was always a lot of questions in this song left. And we're still debating.
So we got to the bottom of Renee. The next song we're going to do at some point, we got to get to the bottom of Biggie Smalls' Warning. That's the next one that's happened. Biggie Smalls' Warning. Or Give Me the Loot. One or both of those needs
well,
to be
I
done.
Think we should do, no, I think you should definitely do Give Me the Loot. And I think that you are making two excellent choices in terms of rappers who tell stories. So,
yes, but stories where you need to really dig deep. And also that song by Crew where they were trying to be Slick Rick.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I think me and you are the only people who know that song, so we shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
We should say
that. Yeah, the fuck is. The only people who know the song by Crew and Uzi Ed.
And me
and
you.
And the fucking Uzi Ed? Yep, me and you. That's it. And the guys who did it, maybe one of the two. I think one of the guys got shot.
Right.
All right, thank you guys for coming. Black, throw it on, Sam.
Okay, goodbye.
See you later.
Bye, Shanta.
Goodbye to the people.
Good night, y'all.
Tune in next week, 9 o'clock. Got a blessing. You guys are the best. Black NPR, Twitter.com. NPR, Black NPR at Outlook.com. If you want to hit up the Love Peace and Slander, that's a superior podcast. There's a lot more fun than this. It's more of me drilling fucking thoughts in your head. It's amazing. Props to Brooklyn Black again for the wonderful production work. Thank you for Christina. Thank you for Ernie. And thank you for Chantel for calling in. I will see you guys next week, 9 p.m. As always, thank you for tuning in.